Man, what a blessing. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and in the upper room with Jesus. How would you like to have been up there after His resurrection and would have got to see Him? And I'm glad the Bible tells us that we have it better than the disciples had it. That we have a more sure word of prophecy. You hold it in your hand this morning. And the Word of God. And so, but what a time that must have been for the disciples to see Him face to face after His resurrection. Enjoyed that song, enjoyed Missy's song. And I hope your heart's already been stirred and that you're ready to receive the Word of God this morning. And very, very simple message this morning. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. In this particular psalm, and we know it was a psalm of Asaph, it's basically called a psalm of wonders, of the wonders of God. But not just the wonders of God, but recalling the wonders of God. Recalling, remembering the wonders of God. This morning, I want us to be reminded of how faithful God really is. It's good to go back from time to time and just remember God's faithfulness and how good He is to us and how wonderful He is to us. We live today in a world that is changing overnight many times, and many countries are changing overnight. We have changing environment for our families, and I think about the environment which our kids have to be a part of and raised in. I think about the schools they're raised in, and though we have a good school system in Keller and Northwest and Saginaw, but we do know that school today is not like school it was 30 years ago. Good English all right there, isn't it? It's not the same. We live in a different day. Our government's changing, and we know that it's changing not in a good way, but changing. Constant changing. Our world is changing today. And it's good that we know that God is faithful and that God never changes. The Bible says He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, that He never changes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 36, the Bible says, I am the Lord. I change not. I change not. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We thank You that in changing times we can depend upon You. We thank You for Your Son that You've given us, so richly given us, that we might have eternal life. And I pray this morning that You would help us as we contemplate, as we think upon You. In Jesus' name, amen. I would go on to say that God's faithfulness is our hope. If God is not faithful, we have no hope. God's faithfulness. The danger we face today, it's forgetting how faithful our God really is. Maybe if we could recall, I think it would be pretty easy for us to think about an Old Testament story that would illustrate this for us. It's all the Old Testament, basically. And that's the nation of Israel. Think about it. God told Abraham that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He promised Abraham all the soil he walked upon, that his seed would number as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. God promised Abraham that He would give him a land, that He would give him a great people. That same promise was given to Abraham's son, Isaac. That same promise was given to Isaac's son, on down, Jacob and Joseph, and on down through. That promise was given. We find Jacob in the land of Canaan. A famine came in the land. And Jacob and his family went down to Egypt to buy corn. And they went down there and they stayed for 400 years. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 that there rose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. The Bible says that God's people were in bondage, that they were sorely oppressed. And the Bible says that they began to cry out to God for deliverance. And God heard their cry. Aren't you glad God hears their cry? God heard their cry. God hears you when you're going through times of testings and trials and circumstances. God always hears your prayer. And God heard their cry. God heard their prayer. Their prayer of repentance. Their prayer of asking Him and crying out for deliverance. And God sent them Moses. And Moses brought them out. And they come to the Red Sea and God does the impossible and parts the Red Sea and they walk across on dry ground. The Red Sea was 350 foot deep, 8 miles across. Imagine that. They walk across on dry ground. How would you like to have been walking through there? And the Bible says that the water stood as a heap on either side of them. It's kind of like that congealed. I always thought that was pretty cool. You know, you see a fish swimming through there and stick your hand in there and catch it. I got lunch now, you know. It's like sticking your hand in something gooey. Like Jell-O. I'd love to have some Jell-O right now. It sounds really good. You ever take Jell-O, put it in your mouth, sauce it around a little bit? That's awesome. But Jell-O, you know. God did the impossible. But God can do the impossible in your life as well. God was faithful to bring them up out of Egypt, to bring them across the Red Sea on dry ground. And then they look back at behind them. They see the armies of Pharaoh coming. And God sends the waters on top of them and kills all of them. God's faithful to bring them to Jordan. Because of their lack of faith, they do not cross over into the land that He promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. But they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You know what they did in that wilderness? They murmured and complained. In my Bible reading this last year, I went through in Exodus and wrote down every time, I underlined it and wrote down every time the children of Israel complained. It's amazing. They just saw God do great miracles in Egypt, the 10 plagues. They just saw Him part the Red Sea. They saw Him on Mount Sinai, the thunderings and the lightning and the voice of God. Thou shalt not kill. They heard the voice of God. And yet they're in the wilderness murmuring and complaining about God. God, why did you bring us out here? You brought us out here to die. Moses, why did you do this? It'd be better if we went back to Egypt. We had cantaloupe there and we had watermelon there. Let's go back to Egypt. And God heard that. In fact, a couple of times God said, Moses, get out of the way and I'll take these people out. I mean, kill them and I'll raise you up a new people. Moses said, hey, wait, God, you know, your testimony is at stake here. You promised this people. A couple times Moses said to God, won't you take these guys out? Just over and over again. And yet, the children of Israel, in their disobedience, God continued to take care of them. The Bible says the shoes on their feet did not wear out. For 40 years, they wore the same sandals. Right? They wore the same Crocs. I mean, that was it. They wore the same shoes for 40 years. They wore the same garments for 40 years. It didn't wear out. You know, you imagine that, those little kids, that their sandals didn't wear out. I don't know about you, but my kids' shoes wear out like 30 days, 40 days. Or they outgrow them, you know. God was faithful to supply their need. God supplied them water and food and bread in the morning. You all know the story. God was faithful to the nation of Israel. In spite of them murmuring, complaining. We do the same thing. Israel, absolutely, their history is seen in our own lives as we murmur and complain, and yet God continues to be faithful to us. God is faithful. I think I've told the story before, but there's a father who fell asleep and his kids decided to do something to him, and they put Limburger cheese under his on his lip, under his nose. And the story is that when he woke up, he took a breath and he said, man, it stinks in here. He went into the living room to try to escape the smell, and the living room smelled. He's like, man, this living room smells. He walked around the house and said, this whole house stinks. He said, man, he began to just open the door, walk outside, and the whole world stinks. Ever been there? Just feel like the whole world stinks? Everything stinks. A job stinks. The house stinks. The bills stink. You ever been there? Sure, all of us have from time to time. When we get our eyes on ourselves instead of our eyes on the Lord. We need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. The next time we face trials, the next time we face circumstances, we need to contemplate the faithfulness of God. Three things this morning. Number one, God is faithful to forget. God is faithful to forget. How is God faithful? He's faithful to forget. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. I want you to turn there. We won't turn to a whole lot of Scripture this morning, but a few. Hebrews chapter 12. Somewhere in the New Testament, you just got to keep on looking for it. And God is faithful to forget. And of course, you could add to this list. I put down three, but you could add to this list many, many more things that God is faithful in. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Aren't you glad that God, when we come to Him through Jesus Christ and asking Him pardon for our sins, that He forgets our sins? He forgets our wrongdoings. It's very hard when you are trying to patch up a relationship. When you're trying to, a husband and a wife, and you're trying to reconcile that relationship. A lot of times the wife or the husband will say, "Well, I forgive him or I forgive her." It's one thing to forgive, it's another thing to forget. As human beings, we cannot forget. It's just impossible. And one of the sexes more than the other. But I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that because now some people have turned me off. But we just don't forget. And so it's hard for us to understand that God, not only can He forgive, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, but He can forget. That's amazing, isn't it? That He, for God, that He look at that verse again. It says, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Will I remember? I can't say to my wife, "Well, I just won't remember that anymore. You did that to me, but I won't remember it anymore. I'm done. I forgive you. I'm going to forget it." I may be able to forgive her, but it'll always be there. But with God, it's not. You say, "Preacher, that means metaphorically speaking, you know, God can do that." No, God says He forgets. He forgets. Because He's God. He can do anything. That's the faithfulness of God. Not only does He forget our sins, but He covers our sins. 1 John 2:2 says He is a propitiation for our sins only. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He forgets our sins. He covers them. The Bible describes that covering as His own blood. I'm glad today I've been plunged beneath the blood, the forgiveness. The forgiveness of the Lord. Covered. You say, "Well, why would He forget our sins?" Well, He forgets our sins when we come to Jesus Christ and we believe and trust in Him as our only means of salvation, right? From the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sins. It's when we come to Jesus Christ that we believe on Him as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as our only means of escaping hell. The wrath of God upon sin and having a home in heaven. And when we come to Him and repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, not only does He forgive us, but He forgets our sins. What a faithful God we have. What a wonderful God we have. Then we think about not only that God is faithful to forget, but He's also faithful to feed us. And once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, once we enter into this relationship with the Lord, once we're reconciled to God, once we're brothers and sisters in Christ, once we become sons of God, everyone with me? Once I become a child of the King, once I become a part of the family of God, then the growth process takes place. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And once you're born again, He said, "What can I do? Can I enter the womb the second time and be born?" No, He said, "You must be born of the water and the Spirit." I was born in the water in 1974, March 4th, 1974. Woohoo! I'm here today. I was born of the Spirit in March 12th, 1980. I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 6 years old. And at that point, I became a part of the family of God. I hope today you know that. I hope today you're a part of the family of God. I hope today you have passed from death into life. I hope today that you know that you know that you know, if you were to die today, that you'd have a home in heaven. I hope you've experienced God forgetting your sin. And then the next part is that you get to experience as a child of God. You get to experience this feeding process. Now, I enjoyed going to the hospital with my wife. We were in Bible college. I was pastoring in Nakona. We had a little house, a little parsonage there, the big city in Nakona, 2,800 people. A little parsonage, it must have been 800 square feet, maybe 700 square feet. Little pier and bean house. And I had school the next day, so I told my wife, I'm going to bed. And she was already having those pains. Well, we had those before. You faked this out before. We went to the hospital once. It's not real. Go back home. Those are called Braxton Hicks. How many of you men know what Braxton Hicks are, you know? Yeah, amen to that. So I shouldn't be making fun of all this. I don't know. Anyway. So I don't remember what time it was, but it was late in the night. She comes in there and says, we need to go. It's time. 1 a.m, whatever it was. I usually had to get up at 4:15 to go to school. We head off to the hospital. Within a few hours, I think 20-something hours of labor, whatever it was. It really was. Here's this baby boy, right? His name, we decided to call him Caleb. He's graduating this year from high school. Here's Caleb, this little bitty thing. And as Brother Stewart described at the Bible conference, man, what thoughts come into your mind when you hold your first child? Right? It's amazing. A miracle. I got to be in the room, got to watch just everything, you know, amazing. A miracle of God. But by way of sermon illustration this morning, something happens at that point. That baby does not stay a baby very long. That baby from the very beginning is hungry and wants to be fed. And he or she lets you know about it, right? Boy, they let you know about it. 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I've got to go to school. I've got to study. Can you make that baby be quiet? No, but from the very beginning, that baby's hungry. Hungry for food. Because without food, the baby can't live. Without food, that baby's not going to grow. And so you feed it. You feed him or her. We fed Caleb. Look, he's still alive. By the grace of God, we fed him. Right? And he grew. Like doubled weight in a matter of a month or something. I don't know. I'm exaggerating, but you know how baby fast they grow. And all of a sudden, their little two-year-old, you know, wandering around, walking around, you know, taking food off daddy's plate and stuff. It's just amazing to watch them grow. It's amazing. As parents, we're faithful to feed our kids. As parents, we're going to provide for our kids, and we're going to be, you know, put in the back seat. We're going to make sure our kids are fed. Amen? Well, as we know, it's vital. It's the only way they're going to grow. And my boys, they have grown and gotten big. It's amazing. Our God is faithful to feed us as well. Once you're born again, once you become a part of the family of God, God will feed you. Now, here's the issue. Sometimes when we fed our children, we fed them things that they may not have liked. And they pushed it away. Many of those things that they push away are good for them. And so we push it back. And we say, eat this. And when they're real small, you just stick it down their throat, right? And you hold their little mouth. You've never done that, huh? Bunch of liars. Hold that. It's like giving them medicine. You've done that too, hadn't you? Took that little... Swallow. And there is times when God is feeding us and we can enjoy it. And boy, it's, you know, it's pecan pie. It's roasted mashed potatoes. It's things we enjoy. And then all of a sudden, when I was a kid, I hated certain things. I hated cabbage. I'll eat cabbage all day long now, but then I hated cabbage. Back when I was a kid, I hated milk. I could drink a gallon of it now. And Dad would say, no, drink your milk. You know, eat that cabbage. That's all there is on the plate. That's all there is on the table. That's what you're going to eat. Eat it. Or else you can do without. You know, those broccoli and all those other things that didn't like when we were kids. We ate them because Daddy said so. Or the Board of Education would be applied to the seat of understanding. Then you would eat it anyway. Because it was good for us. I enjoy when things are right in my life and things are where they should be. I enjoy my Bible reading. I enjoy that honey. The Bible talks about the Bible being honey, sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. I enjoy it as gold and as silver, more precious than anything. But there are times in my life when Bible reading is very hard. There are times in your life when Bible reading is hard. Everybody with me? There's times we enjoy it. There's times we come to church, we enjoy the preaching. We enjoy the man of God, whether it's myself or Brother Wiggins getting up here and preaching, or Brother Stewart and preaching. And man, we're sucking it in and we're getting fed. And man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. God's feeding our hearts, feeding our spirit. And then there's times when it's just difficult. The preaching seems dry. By the way, it doesn't matter whether I'm preaching or Brother Wiggins or someone else is preaching. You can get something out of any message. But God is faithful to feed you. But you got to be willing to take it in. God is faithful to feed. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. In other words, the Bible says in 1 Peter that God is going to feed you. Milk, you know, vegetables, strong meat, all of these areas that God is going to feed you. And we need to be careful that we don't push away the meal that God is giving us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." The Bible says very clearly, Paul said to Timothy, the Bible is profitable. Can I tell you the Bible, every word of it is profitable in your life. It is the kind of the key words today, a lot of people use as relevant. The Bible is relevant in every area of our lives. You say, well, that was, you know, 2,000 years ago. No, it's relevant today. We learned that in the Bible conference. It's relative today. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are relevant today. God is faithful to feed us, to reprove. The Bible says the Bible is profitable. It's profitable for us for doctrine. That's what is right. It's profitable for reproof. That's what not is right. Listen, there are some things that are right. The Bible describes those to us. These are the things that are right. Then it tells us what is not right. And then it tells us how to get right. Then it tells us how to stay right. The Bible is profitable for us. It tells us what's right and wrong. It tells us that we need to get right. It tells us how to get right. How do we get right? We go to God and ask for forgiveness. He forgives. We get right with God and then we stay right by feeding upon the Word of God, by staying in the Word of God. The Bible is profitable. The Bible is God's food to us. If you don't read your Bible, you'll be spiritually anemic. If you don't read your Bible, you'll be spiritually weak. If you don't read your Bible, you'll become backslidden and carnal and unspiritual. That's what the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible is our food. You miss a Sunday night service. You miss a Sunday morning service. You miss a Wednesday night service. You miss breakfast. You miss lunch. You miss supper. You missed a major meal. And therefore, your soul should be hungry. And if it's not, you should be worried about that. You should be concerned about that. And if you are not hungry for the things of God, then you need to come to the altar this morning and say, Lord, I don't find the Word of God pleasing anymore. I don't find the Word of God as sweet and honey or as pure as gold and silver. I don't have an appetite for the things of God. If there's not an appetite for the things of God, then something's wrong. Get it right. Fellowship is so much sweeter when things are right. There are many times in my childhood growing up that I would do something that my dad did not like. And I remember, you know, Dad applying the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. And I remember after him applying the Board of Education, she just giving me a whipping, all right? Just beat me. That's the way it is. He didn't beat me as in beat me. My dad was the best disciplinarian I know. A loving, gracious father who loved me and disciplined me right. And if all across the country, people would mimic my way my dad disciplined me, this country would be so much better off. It's unbelievable. Stop listening to the psychologists and the child experts and just get back to the Bible and discipline loving, kindly, but apply the rod of correction. It works every time without exception. And my dad would discipline me, and I remember my own mind saying, I'm not going to speak to him anymore. He whipped me. I'm not talking to him anymore. But as many of you know, I love my dad. And me and my dad have always had a good relationship. And that not speaking to my dad lasted about 30 minutes because I wanted that communion with my dad. I wanted my dad to be to approve of me. I wanted that recognition from my dad. I'm glad I had a dad who did do that, that he did a great job of recognizing and approving and patting me on the back and doing those things. What a wonderful relationship I have with my dad. Listen, if you want that kind of relationship with your Heavenly Father, you may not have had that with your earthly parents, but you can have that with the Heavenly Father if you'll just stay right. If you'll just get right and stay right. And when things come into your life and the Word of God again becomes, you know, it tastes like, I'm trying to think of something I don't like. You think of anything I don't like to eat? This is a problem. But when you get to a place where the Word of God tastes like rocks, one thing I can think of, and dirt, seriously, when your life gets there, something is wrong. The red flag should go up. You should say to yourself, you know, I need to get back to the Father. It's amazing to me how many people I see who have a revival in their soul. Man, God does something great for them, and they come to a service or maybe in their own Bible reading or a circumstance or a trial comes in their life, and they get right with God, and they start coming to church again. They've been out for a while, and man, they start coming. They're on fire. They come Sunday morning, and boy, they're just on fire. They come Sunday night. They come on Wednesday night, and man, they're ready to go, woohoo! You know, they're on fire. And all of a sudden, they start missing every other Wednesday night, and all of a sudden, they stop missing every Wednesday night, and pretty soon they start missing every other Sunday night. And pretty soon they stop coming on Sunday night. And then over time they, you know, come every third Sunday and every other Sunday. And pretty soon they stop coming on Sunday. If you find yourself in that circumstance, I've seen it 1,000 times, red flags should go up. Red flags should go up. The Bible is our food. And we need to come to the supper table. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. He says, come and dine. The table's prepared. The food is there. You just got to come and eat it. The Bible is our food. The Bible is our roadmap for life. It guides us, it leads us in every area of our life. Lastly, we think about not only is God faithful to forget, faithful to feed us, but He's faithful to forgive. There's a difference between forgetting and forgetting and forgiving. I'm glad not only does God forget, but He forgives us. We can understand forgiveness better than we can understand forgetting. There are many things in my life that my wife has had to forgive me of. There are many things in our relationship that she's had to forgive me of. I'm glad she's willing to forgive me. Aren't you glad your spouse is willing to forgive you? But better than that, our God is willing to forgive us. To forgive us. Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, He forgives us as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. That's pretty far. That's a long ways. God's forgiveness. God forgives us. When we ask Him for forgiveness, as a lost person, if you're here this morning, you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never been, you know, never entered the family of God, He asks you only to come and ask for forgiveness of your sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, His life, His death, and His resurrection, to trust in Him and Him alone as your only means of salvation. And guess what? He'll save you. He'll save you from the wrath of God. He'll save you from the penalty of sin, which is death. He'll forgive you of your sins. And man, life begins anew and the food starts showing up at the door. It's great. But Christian, He'll also forgive you. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive you every time. If you'll simply come to Him, He'll forgive you every time. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Forgiveness of sins. He forgives us. This is an area in which, again, it's very difficult for us to truly understand real forgiveness. But God is a forgiving God. No, it matters not what you've done in this life. God will forgive you. We always go back to Paul. Paul, the Bible says, was a zealous Pharisee. A young man at the time, had been studied under the great teacher Gamaliel, and he was zealous for the Jewish religion. And he went about, when the Christianity came on the scene, he went about persecuting Christians. He stood as the people stoned Stephen and held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. Paul was a murderer. And yet one day he was walking on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says, a light shone as bright as the sun. And a voice came out from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And there Saul saw the Lord. There Saul, who became Paul, found forgiveness. God is a forgiving God. We need to be reminded that God is faithful to forgive. And if you're here this morning and there's something in your life, you say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know that God would forgive me. I don't know if God would forgive me again. I've asked for forgiveness many times. Yes, He will. He'll forgive you again. He'll forgive you every time. Because we have a faithful God. He changes not. God is faithful. God is faithful to forget. Forget. That's hard for us to comprehend. But if you're here this morning and you're saved, He has forgotten your sins. God is willing and is able and will feed you as a Christian. And then God forgives. We've used this illustration a lot about the word justification, which is a large biblical term that everyone should learn. It's not something that should be written out of the Bible. It should be something that we all learn. The word justification means simply just as if I'd never sinned. When we accept Christ as our Savior, see, He forgives us our sins, but He also forgets them. So it's just as if I had never sinned. What happens when I am born into this world, I begin a record of wrong. I'm born into this world, I began a record, and the record is being kept. Here Eric Crawford lied. Here Eric Crawford stole. Here Eric Crawford said something bad. Here Eric Crawford got angry. And from the time I'm a child to the time I grow, I receive this record. I'm attaining, the record's being written down. But when I got saved, that record from the time I was born to the time I got saved was erased. Not only was it erased from the time I got saved, from the time I got born to the time I got saved, but it's erased in the future as well. That's a whole number message. But my sinful record was erased. and Christ's sinless record was put in its place. And I stand before God, forgiven, my sins forgotten. What a wonderful, faithful God we have. He loves you this morning. He forgets, He feeds, and He forgives. That's how faithful our God is.